The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen, let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio. Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to Dorf on Sports right here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. And there is a ton of things happening in the sports world right now. If you are a baseball fan, and more in particular, a Cleveland Indian fan, you are feeling really good about yourself today. In the NBA, yes, the NBA, man, it's right around the corner. Can you believe it? I can't believe it. I'll be honest. I'm very excited for this NBA season with Durant moving to Golden State and Westbrook and all of his things that are going on with him. And then, obviously, more of that Cleveland stuff going on, man, with LeBron and what they could maybe accomplish for this season. NCAA football was fantastic, I gotta say. I mean, look, bottom line is my team went down, the Wisconsin Badgers, to the Ohio State Buckeyes, but that was a fantastic football game. And people that don't think that Wisconsin is legit are absolutely crazy if you ask me, but gotta welcome in my tag team partner in crime, Jeff Rich. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning. It's Ohio against the world, and Ohio is coming up a winner all weekend long. The Chicago Cubs, got to give it up for them. But those Cleveland Indians, they are on the right track as they head to Canada for Game 3.
Yep, and the return of Colin Kaepernick as well. So we'll get into that. He's Jeff Rich. I'm the Dorf Man. It is Dorf on Sports, and you're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
A portable generator can be a big help in a power outage, but you have to use it safely. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about some important generator safety tips right after this. Windows are a prime spot for energy loss, but you can add a barrier against the winter chill by installing Duck Brand Roll-On Window Kits. Designed with ease in mind, Roll-On Window Kits come with a pre-taped edge for easy application, require no measuring, and fit the window frame for an airtight seal. Also look for Duck Brand's heavy-duty window kits. They're 2 times thicker and more puncture-resistant than standard window kits. Keep warm and save with Duck Brand. Find Duck Brand weatherization products at duckbrand.com. When the lights go out, a generator can be a lifesaver, but used improperly, it can also be deadly. The engines on these things create carbon monoxide gas, which is invisible, odorless, and deadly, so only operate a generator in the open at a safe distance from your home. Never use one in a garage, carport, basement, crawl space, or near an open door or window. Also, never attach a portable generator directly to the wiring in your home. Instead, plug electrical devices into a heavy-duty extension cord that's attached to the generator. Be sure the combined wattage of all of the devices plugged into the generator doesn't exceed the rated capacity of either the generator or extension cord. Finally, turn the generator off and allow it to cool before refueling. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
Here at KFC, the Extra Crispy Tender is the starting quarterback of our $20 Philip, now available with 12 of those Extra Crispy Tenders, two large game-winning mashed potatoes with gravy, and a top-notch supporting staff of a large coleslaw and four biscuits. It's an unbeatable combination of Kentucky Fried Chicken deliciousness, perfect for watching football this Sunday. Go your team! KFC, it's finger-licking good!
Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
All aboard!
Bradley and Pedroia the runners. Here it comes. Fly ball. Shallow right. Chisenhall. Cleveland wins. And the Indians are headed to the American League Championship Series.
Dodgers are one strike away from a trip to Washington that they so desperately want and need. Here's the 2-2. Ground ball slowly hit to the right side. Utley flips it to Jansen. Out at first, and the Dodgers hang on and win it 6-5. Next stop, Washington on Thursday. A one-game season. These two teams are now tied at two games apiece.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. Postseason baseball excitement. That's all I can say, man. Been some pretty good games, and at this point, I've been saying it for a while, Jeff. I mean, I know you're a Cleveland Indians guy, but truth be told, I've been on the Indian bandwagon for 3 or 4 months now, and I said after LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers got it done that maybe, somehow, just maybe, they have turned this disaster around of the 52-year curse, and now maybe, just maybe, we might have two winners in the same year in Cleveland. Like, in all honesty, dude, how in the world can you explain this?
Well, it can't be explained except for, you know, karmic payback for 52 years of relative misery. But, you know, give it up for Francisco Lindor coming up with the big with the bat in games one and game two. By the way, the kid is 22 years old. And if it weren't for LeBron James doing what he does next door at Quicken Loans Arena, I would have to say that Andrew Miller is absolutely the most dominating athlete in Cleveland. Now, that changes on October 25th when the Cavaliers start play LeBron James and his gang, along with J.R. Smith, who's back after signing a four-year deal. But when they're back on the court, it's LeBron's town. But for this week, you know, it's a Cleveland Indians town still, and they could steal the spotlight from the Cavs on ring night because that's the same night as game one of the 2016 World Series.
Just amazing how that can change, like in the drop of a hat. You know, you have the Cavaliers win, and then all of a sudden, you know, the Indians now are a team to be reckoned with and a force. And I know we have callers on the line at 1-800-878-7529. So remember, everybody, keep calling. We love to talk to you. We want your thoughts. We want your opinions. And we'll jump out to the phones real quick. We'll hook up with Barry in Scottsdale. Sounds like he wants to talk some Packers. And not a surprise, we got people in Arizona liking Green Bay Packer football. Barry, what's on your mind, brother?
Well, interestingly, I'm listening to the baseball conversation, and I find it kind of bizarre that the national media and everyone wants to focus on curses and long, you know, 50 years between titles. Both the Cubs and Indians have great teams. These are not underdogs, people. Wake up. The Cubs have John Lackey as their fourth starter. They have the best pitching rotation in all of baseball. The youth they have on their team, they're going to be great for the next 5 or 10 years. I wish people would focus on 2016. The Cubs won 103 games. They're clearly the best team in baseball. The Indians had the best move at the trade deadline by far, getting Andrew Miller. Despite giving up Frazier and Sheffield, who could be a top lefty starter in 2 years. I'm just that was just a comment that I had to make. I just kind of find it annoying that we're trying to turn the Cubs and the Indians into lovable losers when they had great seasons and they're great teams. Now,
there's a little bit of an underdog element to the Indians, considering they've been without Michael Brantley, arguably their best offensive player going into the season. They've lost Carrasco. They still don't have Salazar. They might get him back for the bullpen, should they advance. But I believe that the Indians have overcome quite a bit. But, to his point, he's right. I mean, the Cubs were the best team in all of baseball. The Indians, had it going on and off throughout the season. They had some stretches where they dipped a little bit, and that's why they had to scratch and claw their way into the two seed at the end of the season. But they played some good baseball at home, and I think that, if you look at both series, the teams that have the edge right now are probably the teams that you're going to be looking at in the next series for the World Series.
No, I agree. I was just making a broader point. That I wish that the sports media would focus more on 2016 than 1952 or 1954, because these kids.
Yeah, no, look, and what you're saying makes a lot of sense, to be honest with you. We do compare and contrast things way too much. We think about, well, this guy is, really good right now, but what would he have done back then? And it's impossible to do that. So I totally understand where you're coming from. Go ahead,
Mike. Now, here's my question, Dorfman and Jeff. You guys have a great show. Break this down for me. I'm a diehard Packer fan, 42 years, but I'm a realist. The Packer offense has been struggling for over a year. We have Jordy Nelson back. We have a very good offensive line. Rodgers has more time than almost any quarterback in the league. For some reason, number 12 cannot stay within the flow of the offense and pass in rhythm. Question. Is this on Aaron Rodgers for holding the ball too long and not trusting his receivers? Or is it just literally that these guys aren't getting open?
I think it's a combination of both when you really think about it. Look, I think the routes that they run are amateur routes, to be quite honest with you. They're high school routes. So the defenses are aware of what the Packers are throwing at them. And, yes, it becomes – what can Aaron Rodgers do? How can Aaron Rodgers create? That's why he rolls out of the pocket so much. That's why he has to get away from the offensive line. They do a great job, and this year has been pretty impressive, to be quite honest with you. But even with that being said, Aaron Rodgers is having to create all kinds of activity on the offensive side of the ball. And you're right, Jordy Nelson's back, and he's got 5 touchdowns, and he's had a pretty solid season so far. But the offense in general is not clicking. Lacy was supposed to come back a little bit lighter this year. I'm not seeing it, but truth be told, there's definitely problems on the offensive side of the ball, and they have not moved the ball, like you're saying, for over a year. And we're all starting to scratch our head. With that being said, today's a perfect opportunity, man. You have the Dallas Cowboys coming, a weak secondary. Aaron Rodgers should be poised and ready to play a pretty good football game in Lambeau Field.
Let me ask you this. How moronic is Mike McCarthy's play calling? Let's be honest about it. We've watched this Packer team jump out to early leads pretty much every game this season except Minnesota.
We've definitely connected the dots here. There's a problem with McCarthy. There's a problem with number 12, and there's a problem with the receivers. They do run poor routes. The protection's fine. The run blocking's not there, but the protection when they're throwing the football is just fine. I think something was exposed about the Green Bay Packers a year ago when Rodgers didn't trust anybody but Jordy Nelson, and I think the teams gear up for that now, and they force Nelson and Rodgers to beat them because nothing else is really working for the Green Bay Packers, despite their 3-1 record.
Yeah, well, but what is working is that defense. And I think that that's what people are misunderstanding this year is they're not winning because of the offense, Barry or Jeff. They're winning because of that defense and how solid it is throughout the whole game. So you're right. The offense gets on attack early, and then all of a sudden they take off. They let off the gas, and it doesn't make any sense. And I agree 100%. Mike McCarthy's play calling is suspect at best. But, we're up against it. So I'm going to give you a final thought on this today, Barry. You like the Packers or you like the Cowboys?
No, I like the Packers to win by 10 points today, actually. But here's the thing. Look for this closely. The first possession of every game, the Packers go to the multiple formation. They come in with different groups, different formations, and they drive right down the field. The key today is to keep doing what works. Multiple formations, two tight ends, three receivers, five receivers. Once they go into the vanilla three-receiver package, that's when they get stopped. That's when they get predictable. McCarthy has to go with multiple formations all game. 31-21 Green Bay.
Very good prediction. Appreciate the call, brother. We love phone calls. We love thoughts. We love opinions. 1-800-878-7529. Those are the digits. You can hit us up on Twitter, at By Jeff Rich, at Dorf on Sports, and then check us out here at Sports Byline USA. A lot going on in the sports world, people. A ton. It's football. It's basketball, which is literally right around the corner. It's NCAA football. It's Major League Baseball. It's the best time of the year, if you ask me. Anyways, got to take a quick pause for the cause. He's Jeff Rich. I'm the Dorf Man. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy price. Again, get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
When a belt drive blows out at 3 in the morning, who's got your back? Grainger's got your back. When you need safety products to help prevent job site injuries, Grainger's got your back. When you need to keep a business running, or a facility, or a school, or a factory, Grainger's got your back. Whatever you need, whenever you need it, Grainger's got your back. I love Grainger. You know why? Because Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done. When you need to keep a business running, or a school, or a bakery, or an HVAC shop, or an auto body garage, a cleaning service, a locksmith, a contractor, a property management company, a restaurant, a grocery store, a dry cleaner, a hotel, a moving company, a hospital, or pretty much anything, you want Grainger. Grainger has the products and solutions to help a growing business succeed. Whatever you need, whenever you need it. Grainger's got your back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Dodgers are one strike away from a trip to Washington that they so desperately want and need. Here's the 2-2. Ground ball slowly hit to the right side. Utley flips it to Jansen. Out at first, and the Dodgers hang on and win it 6-5. Next stop, Washington on Thursday. A one-game season. These two teams are now tied at two games apiece.
I got my first real six string, bought it at the five and dime. Played it till my fingers bled. Was the summer of 69.
All righty, everybody, welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We do like thoughts. We do like opinions. 1-800-878-7529. Let's keep the phone calls coming. We got an early one from Barry in Scottsdale, so let's keep them coming. We do have our professor of sports, John Poulter. And, John, I do want to talk baseball with you, but I think we would be foolish and inconsiderate, to be honest with you, if we did not bring this up first and foremost. And we're going to go some NHL hockey because we know that you have us covered there as well. But I don't know if I've ever seen a debut by anybody the way that Austin Matthews, a kid from Scottsdale, Arizona, as Jeff said, not born here, but lived his life in Arizona, growing up as a kid. 4 goals, his first night out, a loss for the team, but just an incredible, unbelievable performance from a kid just right out of the gates, showing that he belongs immediately in the NHL. Austin Matthews, a local kid from Scottsdale, Arizona. How impressed were you with this kid's individual performance?
Well, good morning, guys. Firstly, I was very impressed. A lot of pressure on this kid, a lot of hype, as there is on a top prospect or a top draft pick in any sport at any time, and especially when he is going to a team that has been in the doldrums for a number of years. I mean, you know, he's not coming in to play for the 27 Yankees or the 1978 Montreal Canadiens, which were both storied teams, but he's coming into a situation where he's basically expected to be the savior, the messiah, much like Connor McDavid in Edmonton was last year. I was very impressed with him. His attitude was good. If you noticed, after all of those goals, his celebration was very stoic. There's no fist pumping, no sliding down the ice on one knee, no grinning with arms in the air and all that kind of stuff. He just basically acted as if, you know, I've been there before. Let's continue to move on. But the second goal out of his 4 was an absolute thing of beauty. And anybody that didn't happen to see it, I would encourage them to go to YouTube and Google it, and just take a look at it. He basically beat the whole team. Picked up the puck near the blue line. He undressed an all-star defenseman in Carlson, and he just absolutely looked unbelievable. He did not look as good last night. I suspect that. You know, we all expected a bit of a fall off. You don't score 4 goals every game, and clearly Boston checked him a little bit more carefully based on what they had seen in the opening game. But certainly this kid has the talent to be a superstar in the NHL, and he's certainly in the right market to get that attention. So it's something we're all going to watch very, very carefully up here in Canada.
John, I haven't seen anybody go 1-on-5 like that since LeBron James' first run in Cleveland. And speaking of Toronto and Cleveland, we know that they're playing a couple of baseball games. The American League Championship Series started in Cleveland on Friday night, continued through Saturday. The Indians take a 2-0 lead behind some pretty good pitching and just enough hitting. You know, when you look at this series going back to Toronto, you know that they have a home field advantage from firsthand experience. What's the attitude in Canada going into Game 3 on Monday evening?
Well, I guess it's a mixed message, Jeff. It's obviously a little bit of disappointment from the standpoint that the Blue Jays dropped both games. I mean, you'd much rather come home 1-1 or even 2-0 then come home 0-2. I mean, that goes without saying. But I don't think the Blue Jays need to be concerned from the standpoint of the way that they're playing, other than that they need to get the bats going a little bit more, and certainly they need to get those bats going a little bit more with runners in scoring position. In 2 games, they've left 19 runners on base. We all know that you don't score an awful lot of runs, and therefore you don't win an awful lot of games in the sport of baseball if you leave 19 guys on base over a 2-game spell. Neither team has been hitting. I mean, you look at the averages, and in Game 1, I think Toronto hit .212 and Cleveland hit .222, and in the second game, Toronto was 3-for-30, which is 100, and Cleveland was 4-for-28, which by my math is about .143. None of those averages are sparkling, which tells you that the pitching was good on both sides. And I guess what it comes down to is we've said many times, good pitching beats good hitting, and I think that's what we've seen here.
Well, you mentioned something that I was going to go to, which was the hitting, obviously, and on both sides, not so great. And with the Toronto Blue Jays leaving so many guys on base and scoring position and whatnot, or even not in scoring position, just leaving runners on base, how do they turn that around? Because truth be told, their confidence has to be shaken a little bit when you know that you're leaving runners on, you're missing opportunities. So how do they get that mindset in the right frame?
Well, it's an interesting question. Jeff and I chatted off air and offline about this on Friday night very briefly, and Jeff was kind of impressed with the plate discipline. This was early in the game that the Blue Jays were showing. And, you know, maybe now we extend that by saying, looking at the lack of hitting, the lack of runs, the abundance of men left on base, are they perhaps being a little bit too disciplined or perhaps too patient, and maybe they need to become a little bit more aggressive? So perhaps that's the answer. They're looking at a home game, Trevor Bauer pitching for the Indians, and without being disrespectful to Bauer, he does have a little bit of an injury, which may help the Blue Jays because he may not be at 100%, and clearly he's not the Indians' number one starter. So I felt good after the first game because they had done reasonably well against Kluber, and I think if anybody had have said, you know, if you're going to lose a game in Cleveland, who are you likely to lose it to, the answer probably would have been Kluber. But then, you know, clearly they did the same thing last night with Tomlin. So maybe it's just the bats are cold and the Indians' pitching is good and it's well supported, and the Indians' hitting is not great, but it's very timely, and that's what matters in this game. So obviously Game 3 is a key game. Marcus Stroman goes for the Blue Jays. A lot of pressure on him, but he seems to have this attitude that he's a big game pitcher, put it on my back and let me carry you. So clearly Game 3 is a swing game. Nobody wants to go down 0-3. If it's 2-1, everybody's won at home and we still have a great series.
Absolutely. Hey, let's switch gears and go to the other side, the National League, real quickly because we've only got a few minutes left. First and foremost, what can you say about Clayton Kershaw? I mean, you can put this guy in any position, and he's probably going to be successful, whether he's coming out of the bullpen, whether he's being your starter as your ace. I mean, honestly, just talk about Clayton Kershaw and how much value he brings to the Dodgers.
Is he this year's Madison Bumgarner? Maybe he is. you know, you look at a five-game series, two wins and one save, pitched very well in that one inning he pitched in Washington on Thursday night. I was a little surprised when I woke up this morning and found out that he had been named the starter in Game 2 of the series tonight in Chicago. I thought that they would probably hold him out until Game 3. Perhaps based on the fact that he had pitched on short rest on Tuesday, he'd thrown a lot of pitches on Tuesday, and then he'd made that short relief appearance on Thursday night. I thought that perhaps they would hold him till Tuesday, and maybe if the Dodgers had won last night, they may have held him till Tuesday. But I think tonight's going to be a very interesting night because, you know, here he is. He's not coming back on what's called short rest, but he's coming back after pitching less than 5 days ago. So it's going to be very important how he comes out of the chute tonight. If he doesn't pitch well and the Dodgers suffer as a result of that, then, you know, obviously that series becomes very one-sided as it moves to Los Angeles, the Cubs being very, very dominant. But I think we're going to look at a good effort tonight from Kershaw, and don't be surprised if they go to Los Angeles tied at one.
John Lester didn't look too happy after being pulled from Game 1 by Joe Maddon after six innings. You know, he showed it too. You know, we look at Joe Maddon, we look at this team, and, you know, they're brutally honest with each other, and they show it. Is that something to worry about with the Cubs going forward, that Lester-Maddon relationship, or is it just a manager pulling rank during a game?
I think it's a question of the manager pulling rank during the game. Lester's been around good managers on good teams for a number of years. I'm sure Terry Francona pulled him more times than Lester would have liked to have been pulled from a ball game. I think these guys are competitive, and when they're on a good team and they can smell a championship, at this time of year, they just become more competitive, super competitive, if you want to use that term. It doesn't surprise me in the least. I think Maddon would probably be the first guy to tell you he would have been disappointed if Lester had not objected to coming out of the ballgame. I think it's just the nature of where we are with sport and at the time of year we are in the baseball season.
Very good stuff, John, as always. Really appreciate it. Sorry your Toronto Blue Jays are down 0-2 to Jeff's Cleveland Indians, but hopefully they go home and they make this thing a series, man.
Well, neither game's been a blowout. It's been a good series. You know, nobody complains if all the games are close. That's what it's
Agree. Agree. Hey, John, we're up against it. Have a great day. We look forward to talking to you next week, brother.
Yeah, thanks, guys. My pleasure. Talk next week.
John Poulter, a professor of sports, breaking it down. Keep it close. Jeff Rich, Dorfman. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
5-5, bottom of the eighth with two out. Here's the 1-2. Base hit into right field. Here comes Tolles, and he will score. Utley delivers, and the Dodgers take a 6-5 lead. You know I'm only bragging. Boss is always nagging. My house is dragging, but they don't know. You think I kind of mess around, but I'll never let you down.
Sometimes the hardest part of a project is removing the stuff you want to replace. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner. Stay tuned, and we'll talk about a solution for removing stubborn adhesives right after this.
Beautify your outdoor living spaces with Pavestone's elegant collection of pavers, retaining walls, patio stones, and edging. Pavestone's easy do-it-yourself products have a unique way of transforming landscapes into beautiful dreamscapes. Discover how you can enhance your outdoor living spaces with attractive and durable interlocking patio stones, driveway pavers, steps, retaining walls, pathway edging, fire pits, and planters by visiting pavestone.com.
Removing things like vinyl baseboards and vinyl flooring can be difficult because the adhesives used to hold them are so tough. It's easy to end up damaging walls and subfloors in the process because it takes so much elbow grease to get them loose. The solution is to use an electric heat gun to soften up the adhesives before you begin. Wear gloves and make sure you have adequate ventilation. Set the heat gun's temperature to medium and begin heating near a seam. Hold the nozzle a few inches away, moving it back and forth over a small area for about 30 seconds. Insert a wide-bladed putty knife behind the material to pry it up. Now, once it's removed, use the gun to melt the adhesive so you can scrape the rest off with the putty knife. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
Hi, this is Rick Haro. Join me for Beyond the Scoreboard Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. right here on Sports Byline. We go inside the biggest deals in sports with the biggest names in the industry. In sports news, business, law, marketing, politics, and deal making right here on Sports Byline. That's Beyond the Scoreboard. Only on Sports Byline and SportsByline.com. Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. right here on Sports Byline.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. A lot going on in the sports world. Obviously, Major League Baseball and the playoffs and just been pretty good stuff. And then obviously NFL football is always around us. We've got the college football thing going on, and I believe we're gonna have Seth Marenbloom here with us as well. So good morning, Seth. How are you? Well, maybe we don't have him quite yet, but Jeff, we've got you. So welcome back, Jeff. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I appreciate it. I'm good. I thought we watched a pretty good but not a great day of college football on Saturday. I think the NFL slate looks pretty good on Sunday. But, you know, Alabama survives the test. And
Alabama looked good, man. They looked incredible, to be honest with you.
You know, everybody talks about Bo Jackson from Tecmo Bowl being the video game guy. I actually had this game called that John Elway quarterback, and it was all passing plays, except he had one running play, and the quarterback was ridiculously fast. I feel like that when I watch guys like Lamar Jackson, and Jalen Hurts certainly put on a show, and that Tennessee defense didn't look like they had any answers for that read option from Alabama, and it reflected in the final score.
Yeah, 49-10 is a beat down, and maybe this is more of who Tennessee really is and those comeback heroic efforts, to be honest with you. Let's bring in Seth Marenbloom, our college football insider. Seth, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Doing great this morning. How are you?
Can't complain. Listen, man, like Jeff said, not the typical week where we have all these upsets and whatnot, but we did have teams struggle quite a bit, like Louisville struggling with Duke, like Florida State struggling with Wake Forest, and Florida State is obviously not the same as they've been, but Clemson struggling with NC State. So look at what's happening now is we're not having the upsets, but we're having teams having to struggle to get through, and to me, that's called middle of the season. What about you?
No, I agree with much of that. I really do. Teams don't sneak up on other teams at this point in the season. I think that's certainly part of it. I think the other part of it is, you know, once we get past maybe the top four or five ranked teams, you know, pretty much from, you know, a team ranked sixth or seventh on down to, you know, just unscientifically, let's say 45, any given Saturday, any of those teams could beat the other one, I think.
I don't disagree. You know, let me ask you this. Alabama is, in my opinion, heads and tails better than the rest. You've got your Ohio States, you've got your Michigans, you've got your Clemsons, and then you've got your Washington, who's kind of out there as well, far behind them. But is that correct? You have Alabama, and then you have everybody else. At least that's my humble opinion.
You know, after watching Alabama and Tennessee yesterday afternoon, and then watching a great game between Ohio State and Wisconsin, I completely agree with that. Going into the weekend, I would have given Ohio State a slight nudge ahead of Alabama, but as great of a coach as Urban Meyer is, I think Saban is the best in the business. And, you know, that Alabama team, they don't seem to look past teams week in and week out. And Saban played some mind games with his guys, you know, after that Arkansas game, saying, we didn't really play that well. And he got them focused in and absolutely leveled Tennessee. And to me, the difference between Alabama and Ohio State right now is I trust Alabama's offense more than I trust Ohio State's right now, even with a true freshman quarterback compared to JT Barrett. And part of that is what each of those quarterbacks are asked to do by their coaches.
Yeah, and if you ask me, I think we saw Wisconsin really keep JT Barrett in check, to be quite honest with you. And I don't necessarily know if they can do that with an Alabama team. I hate to say it, but ultimately I think Alabama just has too many weapons. And like you said, Saban will learn how or know how to exploit all those. And give credit to Urban Meyer, because second half adjustments were obviously made by the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Oh, yeah.
And it showed. So with that being said, maybe he's a really good in-game manager, to be honest with you. So that's what I would worry about with Urban moving forward.
Yeah, you know, and I think Wisconsin and Ohio State, that's a good matchup for Wisconsin, because, you know, like I said to my wife while we were watching that game last night, you know, Ohio State, they spread the field with their offensive formations. But to me, they're really a power running game out of spread formations. So, you know, that's a good kind of strength on strength with a defense like Wisconsin's. But, you know, Alabama, they run spread formations, but I don't think, at least not this year, that they're really, you know, playing power football, and that they're not a power running football team out of those spread formations with Jalen Hurts. So, you know, if Alabama were to play Wisconsin, I even in Madison, I would be surprised if the game looked even remotely similar to what we saw with Wisconsin and Ohio State last night.
That being said, Seth, you know, we have a common opponent between Ohio State and Michigan now. They're both top five teams. They're both undefeated. Obviously, they play head-to-head at the end of the year. But does the Camp Randall factor in when you think about Michigan kind of having an easier time with Wisconsin versus Ohio State having to sweat it out and go to overtime? And you know, credit to Greg Schiano for making those second-half adjustments. Corey Clement was definitely kept in check a lot more in the second half, but does this close win hurt Ohio State when you look at them, maybe not against Alabama, but against the rest of the undefeateds, if it is, in fact, Alabama and everybody else?
Well, hey, and you know, with that being said, Seth, how does that help Wisconsin keep them somewhat in the hunt, even though they have those two losses to two top five teams? I think that is a good way to just answer every question about what we saw and what we've seen so far.
You know, I think this helps Wisconsin's image and resume, even with the loss, immensely. I mean, they've played Ohio State, they've played Michigan, they've played, you know, legitimate top five teams so far. And you know, no, they ultimately did not get the job done and win either of those games. But for the vast majority of both of those games, I think that they proved that if they play those games 10 times, they would probably win their fair share of those games against those teams. You know,
or they would lose very close. I mean, either way, they're not that much worse than Ohio State and or Michigan, correct?
No, not at all. And you know, if you put a team like Wisconsin, or if you put Wisconsin in, say, the SEC East, they are steamrolling through that division, in my opinion. Because, you know, Wisconsin's lost these close games against really, really good teams, as opposed to, say, you know, a Florida State digging a huge hole in the first half against Ole Miss. And I'll throw Alabama in there as well. You know, they themselves dug themselves a huge hole against Ole Miss and had to come from behind to win. So, you know, Wisconsin, they're not that sexy team in the country, but, you know, I think we know with Paul Chryst and his coaching staff that team is coming to play week in and week out, and they are going to play 60 minutes of football. They're not going to take the first half off like some of these marquee teams are and then turn it on in the second half.
Well, and I think they have to do that, to be honest with you, because they don't have the athletes that an Ohio State has or Michigan has. They have team defense, they have team offense, and Clement got going, but you know what? That Wisconsin running game hasn't been as powerful as it has in the recent years. So they're a little bit different, the way that they're going about it, with their defense being so strong and their offense kind of being the weak link. So, hey, a lot of love for Wisconsin. But, again, we are continuing with Seth Marenbloom from Campus Press Box. He's our NCAA insider. Look, at this point in the season, I think we know who those teams are, because nobody else is really going to step up. I think it's going to take some really crazy situations for us not to see Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, and Ohio State. I feel like Washington is going to be on the outside looking in unless somebody has a blunder. Yes or no?
I agree with that right now. And as the season plays out in the Big Ten, it's going to be really interesting to me because, you know, I mean, obviously Ohio State and Michigan have yet to play in their regular season game. But win or lose, if that's a close game in the end, you know, I'm not sure that I don't think that, you know, if either one of those teams loses a close one, that it's going to be extremely detrimental to them. And then whichever one of those teams gets to the Big Ten championship game, and if they just steamroll over their competition in that game, are we looking at a situation where the Big Ten, has a strong argument to have two teams in the playoff? And then, you know, maybe you're looking at a Washington who in any other year would be very deserving on the outside looking in.
I think the point of a playoff is to see teams play against each other. And I think that Ohio State and Michigan has to act as a de facto playoff. With the five power conferences and the four team field, you're already automatically leaving one conference out. I really can't see college football or the college football playoff committee creating a potential rematch between Ohio State and Michigan when you have a conference champ probably from the Big 12 and you have a conference champ from the Pac-12 and you're going to have to leave both of them out. I think that, you know, if it is Baylor that comes out on top of the Big 12, maybe it's a little bit of an easier decision. How do you think that the whole non-football issue with Baylor factors in? I know that the committee's not supposed to consider it, but they are human beings, and you have to think that they're going to allow that to seep in.
You know, I think I heard ESPN announcers talking about that, bringing that potential point up yesterday, and I think it's garbage. To be honest with you, I mean the college football playoff and the bowls and all of that. The only thing that those extra games, that those rewards have to do with or should have to do with, is what goes on the field. Who wins? Who loses? How do the teams look? How do they stack up against everybody else in college football?
And Seth, you could make the argument against Baylor just for their non-conference schedule alone.
Yeah,
their nine Big 12 games aren't going to be strong enough, even with a undefeated season or even just a one-loss season.
Oh yes, absolutely. I mean, I think the Big 12 is pretty watered down this year. I mean, it's not SEC East bad, but I don't think it stacks up with most of the other major conferences from top to bottom this year. So if Baylor was left out and the reasons that were given were based on their overall resume and what their good wins look like and how those good wins compared to, say, Ohio State's good wins, then absolutely a case could be made to leave them out. But the decision has to be based on what they've done on the football field.
Hey, Seth, as always, really appreciate you taking time out with us. Look forward to talking to you next week when things are maybe more clear or maybe not more clear. We'll have to figure it out, right?
Yep, that's the fun of it.
Absolutely. Hey, have a great day, Seth. Really appreciate you taking your time out with us. Seth Merrenblum from Campus Press Box joins us each and every week. You know, I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about what you said, Jeff. Truth be told, I think, you know what, if Michigan and Ohio State are in the top four at the end of the year, they have to be rewarded that way. But anyways, take a quick pause. We'll get back on the other side to finish this hour. He's Jeff Rich. I'm the Dorf Man. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Hey there, travelers. You going somewhere? Need a hotel? Then call Hotel Wiz anytime, day or night, for rates too low to publish. You can save up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe and get our best price guarantee with no booking or cancellation fees ever. We've got some of the lowest hotel prices you'll find in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and a lot more. Don't waste your time surfing for deals. Make a free call right now and find deals too low to publish. Save up to 75% right now with no cancellation fees. And to make it even easier on you, we're here 24-7 to help. So call right now. Bookmark us in your cell phone. Whatever you need to do, just pick up the phone and call this number for hotel deals that'll knock your socks off.
800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. A lot going on in the sports world, as we all know. And we would be remiss if we did not mention some of the negative things that happen as well. Former Jets defensive linebacker Dennis Byrd was killed in a car accident on the highway. I don't know if you remember this guy, Jeff, but I definitely remember this guy. And he was a beast on the field, man. And he definitely touched a lot of people's lives in many ways.
Yeah, and you know, he's probably best known for suffering paralysis due to a football-related injury, him and Mike Utley from the Detroit Lions. It's it's a shame that you survived such a violent sport as football and you're killed in such a casual way as a car accident. Rest in peace, Dennis Byrd. It's definitely a shame to go so young.
Look, life is precious. We all know that. You got to enjoy it. You have to embrace whatever happens to you throughout your life, but also just the challenges that everybody goes through. And this was one of those guys that battled, and you know what? Sad way to go for a guy that was, like you said, so strong. Just, I couldn't imagine a guy like this going in this way, to be quite honest with you, man.
Yeah, you know, Quentin Groves is only 32 and he died in his sleep. It was like 3 years ago. He's a special teams captain for the Cleveland Browns. He played for the Arizona Cardinals. So two deaths in the NFL family, neither to feel good about.
No, we got to get the heck out of here for this hour. We will be back another hour on the horizon. Get a lot of NFL football in, a lot of college football. So keep it close. He's Jeff Rich. I'm the Dorf Man. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back, everybody.
USA Radio News with Joe Gomez.
A former contestant on The Apprentice is the latest woman to accuse Donald Trump of sexual assault.
Mr. Trump, when I met you, I was so impressed with your talents that I wanted to be like you. I wanted a job within your organization. Instead, you treated me as if an object to be hit upon.
Summer Zervos held a press conference in Los Angeles with her attorney Gloria Allred to discuss her encounter with the GOP presidential candidate after appearing on season 5 of The Apprentice. The Trump campaign has released a statement from a cousin of Zervos who claims that he's bewildered by her allegations and that he believes she wants to get back into reality TV. Donald Trump says the federal government could benefit from his tough stance on contractors. At a rally in Charlotte, North Carolina, Trump says it's time for America to negotiate better deals to get things done.
Our country has to be able to do things on time, on budget.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey everybody, singer-songwriter Brett Watts here. If you're like me, always on the go, and don't have time to stay as healthy as we would like by eating all the right foods, well, I found an incredibly simple and easy way to get all my fruits and vegetables at once. It's called Daily Lift, L-I-F-T. It's a superfoods energy drink mix supplement that fills the gaps between what you eat and what you don't always have time to eat. This unique formula is packed with 16-plus fruits and vegetables, 59 superfoods, no MSG or GMO. It's all natural and organic. Nature's best combination of antibiotics, enzymes, probiotics, and beneficial algaes in one powdered drink mix. Comes in two flavors, mint and berry, and both delicious. Daily Lift nutrients help balance your body's pH levels and boost your energy naturally. And it's safe for kids. So let's fire up that immune system and stay focused. Go to www.onedailylift.com. That's one, O-N-E, dailylift.com. Onedailylift.com, and let's get healthy.
Indiana Governor Mike Pence says there's evidence to disprove the sexual allegations against Donald Trump. USA's Chris Barnes has more.
This is a conspiracy against you, the American people.
Donald Trump denying the accusations during several stops on the campaign trail yesterday. Now today, his running mate Mike Pence promises evidence will soon be released to refute the sexual assault allegations being made against Trump.
The campaign is working on bringing that information out.
Pence speaks on Fox News.
He's categorically denied these, and there will be more evidence coming out.
I'm Chris Barnes.
President Obama says Donald Trump's treatment of women should not be tolerated.
You know, you don't have to be a husband, know that that kind of language, those kinds of thoughts are unacceptable. They're not right.
Campaigning for Hillary Clinton in Ohio, Obama says all women deserve to be treated with respect and dignity.
He doesn't have the temperament. He doesn't have the knowledge. He doesn't seem to have the interest in acquiring the knowledge.
This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
This week's Republican address accuses President Obama of a regulatory onslaught the likes of which have never been seen. Congressman Kevin Cramer of North Dakota delivers it.
We've proven that a strong economy and responsible environmental stewardship can go hand in hand. And with the same approach, other states can achieve North Dakota's economic success. Yet, as I travel around our state, I hear from people frustrated with how needless regulations out of Washington are making things tougher for their farms, their ranches, and their small businesses. People feel the system is working against them, no matter how hard they work, no matter how much they plan.
A judge says an official misconduct complaint against Governor Christie involving Bridgegate can go forward. Scott Pringle has more.
Bill Brennan calls himself an activist. The Bergen County resident argues in his complaint that Governor Christie should have ordered the lanes be reopened during the alleged traffic jam scheme at the George Washington Bridge. He refers to former Christie aide David Wildstein's testimony during the so-called Bridgegate trial. Wildstein testified that he himself told Christie of the lane closures as they were happening during a 9/11 ceremony. Christie denies that. A judge is now bringing Brennan's complaint to the Bergen County Prosecutor's Office, which will then decide if a grand jury will hear it.
The governor of North Carolina says 24 people have died in the state because of Hurricane Matthew. Governor Pat McCrory says that although Hurricane Matthew was gone, several coastal communities are still underwater. I'm Joe Gomez, USA Radio News.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. You're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio. Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning to some of you. Good afternoon to others. Welcome. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Lots and lots of things going on in the sports world. College football is happening. Not a lot of upsets, not a lot of excitement, to be honest with you, but closer football games. NBA basketball. Yeah, I'm saying NBA basketball, man, because it's right around the corner. NFL football, as we know, happening, loving it, enjoying it, and pretty soon we're going to be complaining that it's done and over with. And then, obviously, Major League Baseball, definitely in full throttle with the playoffs, and Jeff's Cleveland Indians have a 2-0 lead over the Toronto Blue Jays, brother. You got to be feeling wonderful, man. You really do.
Yeah, you have to feel wonderful considering Josh Tomlin had to move up his start because Trevor Bauer injured himself working on drones, got pushed back to game three. But that'll be an interesting series as it goes to Canada. That Rogers Center can be quite the snake pit, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll see, man. The Jays have not gotten their bats going. Cleveland's bats haven't been going that great either, but that pitching has been lights out. Some really, really big time opportunities for both these teams. Cleveland's having the answer so far. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But we're just getting warmed up. A lot to get into. A ton of NFL talk. He's Jeff Rich. I'm the Dorf Man. It is Dorf on Sports. And you're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back, everybody.
Filling gaps and cracks around your home is a great way to stop drafts for the coming winter. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about what to do with the really big ones right after this.
Step 1. Make a list of your weekend projects. Drywall, wash the patio, scrape the loose paint on the deck. Step 2. Pour yourself a cup of coffee.
Hey, Family Guy's on TV. Love that show.
Step 3. 2 hours later, back to your list. Step 4. Pick a project, break out the tools, get it done. Step 5. Go ahead. One more episode. No guilt this time. Hyde Tools. Everything you need to start somewhere at thehideway.com.
One of the best ways to save energy in your home this winter is by caulking the gaps and cracks around windows and doors. This prevents the transfer of air between heated and unheated spaces so your furnace doesn't have to work so hard.
The problem is that caulk alone is only effective in narrow cracks, which are about a quarter inch wide or smaller, because it shrinks as it dries. To give the caulk some help in larger gaps, try using a foam backer rod first. These flexible foam tubes are available at building supply stores in several diameters. You simply push them into the gap with a putty knife or painter's tool until they're just below the surface. Then you apply the caulk on top of them. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
The Lodge at Tiburon is steps from the ferry docks and nestled among Tiburon's upscale boutiques, charming cafes, and unique galleries. Dine at the award-winning Tiburon Tavern, serving innovative dishes prepared with ingredients grown in our very own gardens, starting from $199 a night. Join us at the Lodge at Tiburon and create long-lasting memories. For reservations, call 1-877-614-6068. Join us at the Lodge at Tiburon or go to lodgeattiburon.com.
And here's a drive off the bat of Jason Wirth that changes the picture considerably.
Wow.
Long, long gone. About two-thirds of the way up into the bleachers. And it's a 5-3 game.
All righty, everyone. Welcome back. The show is Dorf on Sports. You got the Dorf fan. You got me, Jeff Rich. And you got some Major League Baseball on tap here. The Washington Nationals and the Los Angeles Dodgers played one heck of a series. We got those matchups. We got Kershaw versus Bryce Harper. We had Kershaw starting. We had Kershaw coming out of the pen, trying to be this year's Madison Bumgarner. They trail 1-0 to the Chicago Cubs after Joe Maddon just basically outlasts Dave Roberts. They pitch around the Cubs lineup to get to the pitcher spot to force Aroldis Chapman out of the game. And the old man Miguel Montero comes off of the bench and hits that grand slam that put the issue out of doubt. The Cubs lead 1-0. On the other side, you got the Indians up 2-0 going back to Toronto. Plenty of Major League Baseball going on. I think that we are on that crash course for the Cubs and the Indians. But there's still a lot of baseball to be played. I think that once a road team wins a game in one of these series, it changes the dynamic. And we'll see if that happens in Game 2 between Chicago and Los Angeles and Cleveland and Toronto. Again, going back to Toronto on Monday night, Blue Jays playing a must-win because we know that there's only been one team that's come back from being down 3-0 in the playoffs, and he is managing the Cleveland Indians, so that's not going to help Toronto very much. Dorf fan, the Chicago Cubs, man, they didn't look like, they've kind of been on edge. They let San Francisco back into Game 3. They let them back into Game 4 before they put that away to get to the National League Championship Series. Are the Cubs a team of destiny, or are they just a team that's got too many weapons not to get it done late in these games?
That might be the way to put it. Is they're just so loaded that ultimately, the Cubs are in a great position no matter what. And we had a caller talk about curses and whatnot. And, history does repeat itself. So until they get that monkey off their back, they're going to have to go out there and prove it to everybody, right? So with that being said, you got to be Clayton Kershaw game two. And I'm like John Poulter, our professor of sports, somewhat shocked and surprised that they're bringing him back. Not necessarily on short rest, but I was expecting game three for Clayton Kershaw. But then I thought about, well, there's a huge game right here. They're down 1-0. They've really got to make some things happen. You go down 2-0, and like you're talking about, you know, we've always said a series doesn't start until the road team gets a victory. And this is a great opportunity for Clayton Kershaw and the Los Angeles Dodgers to get a road win. Let's face it. Let's be honest. And I think that that is what has gotten inside the psyche and the mindset of the Los Angeles Dodgers is let's split this and let's do exactly what Jeff is talking about. Let's make this thing a series and let's do it in game two, not game three or game four. Let's do it in game two.
Well, the pressure's definitely off of the Cubs. I mean, you know, Hendricks isn't a headliner, but he's certainly a capable pitcher. I think that all of the pressure, especially pushing up this Kershaw start, basically turns it from being, you know, a situation where they can have Kershaw going in game three at home and get the series back to 2-1. Now, if they lose game two with Kershaw on the hill, when are we going to see him again? And do the Dodgers have enough going deeper into the rotation? We saw Maeda, the team loses game one with Maeda on the hill. Kershaw is basically your shot. You got to treat this like you're a must win game if you're Dave Roberts and the Los Angeles Dodgers.
No, and I think it is a must win game, and that's why Clayton Kershaw is out on that mound representing the Dodgers, because truth be told, it's a pretty tough task to go out there and beat Clayton Kershaw. And I don't care if he's on short rest. I don't care if he's on regular rest. I don't care if this guy's just pitched a guy coming out of the bullpen to get a save as a win. I don't care, man. This guy is so good that I'd roll the dice with him. If it was humanly possible, they'd want to put him out there every single game, right? Let's not kid ourselves. But you can't do that. It's not humanly possible. It's not physically possible for him to go out there and play every single game. But I think that you, myself, and anybody that's educated or not educated, to be honest with you, knows you have a better shot of winning with Clayton Kershaw on the hill for you than anybody else in that rotation. So, yes, game two is a must win. And like you said, it'll definitely change the dynamic of how they're able to use Clayton Kershaw for the rest of the series. Can they use him another two times, potentially, if he pitches game two? That's my question.
Well, if he pitches game two on the 17th, or on the 16th of October, you're looking at October 19th for game four, so he's probably out. That's only 2 days rest, so you're looking at him again in game five, and then, you know, I mean, if they can get it to a game seven, it's all hands on deck. So I think that we do see at least two appearances, if not three, from Clayton Kershaw, even
well,
if
that, that's my point. That's my point, is if you play him in game one or game two, obviously game one wasn't going to happen, but game two gives you an opportunity to have your best pitcher out there three out of seven games. So that is the route, if you ask me, that the Dodgers are taking, and it's clear, it's concise, and if you don't get it, if you're not seeing the writing on the wall, I'm giving you the writing on the wall. That's their game plan. They're thinking this is going six or seven games, and they're thinking they're getting Clayton Kershaw three times.
Do you think that he's exercised his playoff demons, that kind of David Price has taken that torch for the guy that's that's got a nine-figure contract throughout the regular season? He, you know, may not live up to it, but comes close. And then if, you know, you got to win in the playoffs. I mean, that's what it comes down to. If you don't win, everything that you do in the regular season is all for naught. And, the Cubs have to understand that the task at hand is make Kershaw throw as many pitches as possible. Make sure if you do see him that he's got a slightly more tired arm. This isn't a situation like Tito Francona's got in the American League, where you can basically use Andrew Miller for six outs in every inning, even though his pitch count gets high because he strikes everybody out.
Again, Clayton Kershaw is the best opportunity for the Dodgers to win, and you do whatever you can to let this guy pitch. If you're the Cubs, you say, "Yeah, let's work the counts. Let's make this guy pitch. Let's have him throw his arm out potentially." Obviously, you know, if he does pitch three times, that's a lot of work, man. But if Clayton Kershaw can manage the game the way that we know he can, I really don't have a problem with them putting him out there three times because he's that good. Again, and your point about the regular season or the postseason, I hear you. History does repeat itself quite often, but again, we're talking about Clayton Kershaw, and I think we all know this guy is so good that when he's on and has his stuff, and even when he doesn't have his stuff, he's pretty hard to beat. So I'm rolling with Clayton Kershaw any day of the week, and I would like to roll with him 3 out of 7 games potentially if I'm the Dodgers and I'm thinking this is a long 6 or 7 game series. I want my best guy out there 3 times in 7 games, and I think that gives the Dodgers a really good chance to beat the Cubs if that's the case.
A lot of it comes down to the run support. You know, are the bats going to be there? Because, I mean, there's a difference between giving up 4 runs over 5 innings if you're Clayton Kershaw, if your team's up 5-4. But if they go down 4-0, does Dave Roberts have to keep it in the back of his head? Hey, I want this guy fresh for the rest of the series. Maybe we roll with the bullpen and see if the bats can get us back in this game. And, you know, let's leave Clayton Kershaw with 80 or 90 pitches on the bend. You know, tell him to hit the showers before he's, you know, run through his pitch count for the day. I think that's going to be interesting. I think the flow of the game is definitely going to affect Clayton Kershaw's usage. But if it's a low-scoring game, he's going to be in there as long as humanly possible.
You know, if you ask me, I like the Dodgers. I think they do get that road victory. Game 2, you know, the Cubs have been playing really well, but I really think the Dodgers come through and they get a victory, and this thing's going back to L.A. 1-1.
That's possible. That's certainly a possibility. I mean, these teams are there for a reason. The Cubs were a lot better than the rest of the National League through the regular season, but I don't think that that really plays out the same during the playoffs.
Take us out of here, brother.
All right, so that's going to do it for this segment, Dorf on Sports. You're listening to the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Plenty of football on the other side. This is our football hour. Again, you're listening to Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Dave Roberts, how about that for a ninth inning? How did that decision all come to be?
You know what? That was a crazy game. Come the eighth inning, Clayton came to me and said he feels great. If Kenley's going to be stressed, which he was, and we pushed him more than he's ever been pushed, he can get the last couple outs for us. And so at that point in time, talking to him, looking him in the eye, I felt good about it, and the training staff gave the okay. And so it's only fitting for Clayton to get the last out right there.
Drive blows out at 3 a.m. Who's got your back? Grainger's got your back. When you need safety products to help prevent job site injuries, Grainger's got your back. When you need to keep a business running, or a facility, or a school, or a factory, Grainger's got your back. Whatever you need, whenever you need it, Grainger's got your back. I love Grainger. You know why? Because Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. When you need to keep a business running, or a school, or a bakery, or an HVAC shop, or an auto body garage, a cleaning service, a locksmith, a contractor, a property management company, a restaurant, a grocery store, a dry cleaner, a hotel, a moving company, a hospital, or pretty much anything, you want Grainger. Grainger has the products and solutions to help a growing business succeed. Whatever you need, whenever you need it, Grainger's got your back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
Each new Sunday meant a brand new challenge, rich with new opportunities. A time for achievement, a time for purpose, a time for glory.
What the hell's going on out here?
All righty, everybody, welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Jeff Rich with me, as he is each and every week. You can get involved, 1-800-878-7529. Those are the digits. Hit us up on Twitter, at by Jeff Rich, at Dorf on Sports. Check us out here at Sports Byline USA. We're now going to hook up with Shane Koenig, our NFL insider. Shane, good morning, brother. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I can't complain, man. It's beautiful where we're at. Phoenix, Arizona is a lovely spot, to be honest with you. Still a little bit warm, so if there's anything I'm complaining about is maybe a little bit about the warmth, but I really don't complain much, to be honest with you, man. I enjoy that heat quite a bit. Somebody that, I don't know if it's complaining, but wanted to make a statement about how they feel about certain things going on in the world at this moment in time. Was taking a seat for a while, and, well, literally taking a seat for a while, and now gets an opportunity to get back out on the field. You obviously know I'm talking about Colin Kaepernick getting back out on the field for the San Francisco 49ers. Is this a good thing, and how do you feel about it?
I think it's a good thing for the Niners, because they have to try their best to put a better product on the field. Blaine Gabbert just was never going to be the answer. He misses his wide receivers. He can't throw people open. He can't make the reads quick enough. But the interesting part is that Kaepernick is known for a one-read run. You know, he's a one-read, maybe two-read guy, and then he's out of the pocket. So I don't know if that's really going to work as well in the offense as that people hope. They think that Kaepernick and Chip Kelly are kindred spirits meant to meet up and succeed together, but we'll see. I think it's a better answer than Blaine Gabbert, but I don't know if it's the answer.
You know, I've got mixed feelings about this, because in a weird way, Colin Kaepernick is probably better than Blaine Gabbert, as you're talking about and alluding to. But why in the world wasn't he out there in the first place then, is what I'm wondering. And it had nothing to do with Colin taking a knee, because this decision was made before that. But I do think him taking the knee had something to do with Chip Kelly and the 49ers. Whether they're going to say it or not, I really truthfully feel it had something to do with him not getting on the field. But with that being said, the play was so terrible that they had to put him out on the field. So this is really a sink or swim situation for not only Colin, but the 49ers as well, man.
I agree, and I think that the part that of this situation that really points to that is not only are they putting him on the field, they're renegotiating his contract saying, this is it for you. Like, you can prove yourself, we're letting you out of the contract. They made it a 2-year agreement, and next year is a player option. So if he plays well, Colin Kaepernick's probably going to be gone. It's not under the control of the team anymore. So they really are making this a, hey, you know, use it or lose it. This is your opportunity, sink or swim for real. Like, this isn't, we don't have you for 4 years anymore. We're going to use you for this year, and then if you want to, you can move on.
With that being said, I just have a follow-up, and then Jeff getting on the conversation. If that is the case, and let's just look a year down the road, where do you see a good fit for Colin Kaepernick?
That's tough, because I would always say that, you know, so a year ago, a great place for him to go would be wherever Chip Kelly is.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't, if it does work out, and you give their better, and Colin Kaepernick can run the offense better than Blaine Gabbert and probably better than what other quarterbacks that would run Chip Kelly's offense would do, I would think that his agent and everybody would say, let's take the second-year option. You're getting paid pretty good money. Let's do another one-year option and see what's going on, because you're only upping for one more year. You get the offseason to rehab that shoulder, ankle, get as strong as you were when you were with Harbaugh, and you guys went to the NFC Championship game. I think the Browns would take a shot at him if they thought RG3 was the answer. Kaepernick's a stronger version of that. I know that Jeff probably is getting dizzy and sick of that thought. But I think there's only maybe the Dolphins. They need a quarterback. The Bears are going to need a quarterback, but I don't think that goes with what John Fox wants to do with controlling the offense. So I don't think there's that many options that really meet Colin Kaepernick's skill set.
I agree. Go ahead, Jeff.
I'd be interested to see if Jay Gruden would want to take a chance on him if they're not sold on Cousins at the end of the year. But the Browns thing definitely has legs to it. He's got a little bit of a relationship with Hugh Jackson. But, you know, Hugh Jackson got in trouble this week for taking on the baggage that is Art Briles just as an offensive consultant. So I'm not really sure what direction that'll go in. A year ago, I might have said the Rams were a good option, but, you know, they're going to wait and see with Jared Goff, obviously. So, you know, I quite frankly, I think that he could end up right back there with Chip Kelly if, you know, if things go right the rest of the year. They're, you know, the 49ers are taking on the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. And the Bills, despite a slow start, are, you know, have beaten some pretty good teams over the last couple of weeks, at least the Rams by their record, at least the Cardinals by reputation. And, you know, I know the Patriots had quarterback problems going into their game in Foxborough with the Buffalo Bills. But you look at this, they got 49ers, Dolphins, and then they host the Patriots in a couple of weeks. This is a team that could really put themselves in a position to actually compete in the AFC East. What has been the key to Buffalo's turnaround from their 0-2 start to get to 3-2?
I think that they are going with the identity that they are. You know, people talk a lot about in Denver that the Denver Broncos are built towards what their identity is. They're a strong defense. They want to control the ball. Although that hasn't worked out in the last couple of weeks with some quarterback and offensive line things, I think that the Buffalo Bills are built for a strong defense, even though they've had some injuries, that they are going to stop people on defense, and they want to control the ball. Now, I don't know, without, you know, coaches tape and X's and O's, why Greg Roman wasn't a match with Rex Ryan. But it seems that they have gone to what works best for them. LeSean McCoy has really come around in the past couple of weeks, being that back that is going to carry them. There's rumors that they're going to go out and sign some other running backs and really start to do a ball control offense. Tyrod Taylor is that guy. He's not going to make mistakes. He's going to run with the ball. He's not going to throw interceptions. So I think they're really playing to the no turnover ball control offense and then relying on their defense to try to slow some people down. And it's working really well for them.
another team that has turned things around from their start is the Washington Redskins, who are also 3-2. They have a big one with the Eagles coming into town. Eagles can obviously separate themselves, or the Redskins can bring everybody back to the pack. They, too, have had a big turnaround. I'm talking about the Redskins. What do you credit that to? And then also, how about that big game with the Eagles?
I think the turnaround has been just the person they're paying. They paid the most, well, maybe not the most money on the team, but paid a lot of money to, playing to what they thought he was. You know, Kirk Cousins really struggled at the beginning of the year. He's playing a lot better. I've really been surprised that their running game hasn't been as strong as it was. You know, obviously they let Alfred Morris go. They went with Matt Jones. I thought that Matt Jones would have a big year. I think that running game, they're still trying to get that situated to really progress throughout the season. But as Kirk Cousins goes, so are the Redskins. Their defense is very strong with Josh Norman coming on board. I think that they're really playing to that as well. And I think that they are, like, you know, the old Dennis Green, they are what they thought they were. I think that we thought that this was where the Redskins were going to be. I think we thought they were going to be competing in the NFC East. I think the Eagles are a good team. I think that we don't know what they are. After last week, they looked so great going into that game last week, and then they struggled. So we'll see where they're at and whether Carson Wentz and that defense can control the game.
Sounds good. Shane Koenig hanging with us through the break, so keep it close. It is Dorf on Sports, Jeff Rich as well, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Keep it close, everybody.
No one really wants to be working outside when the weather gets cold, but did you know that there are some jobs that shouldn't be done below a certain temperature? I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about when it's too cold to paint right after this.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
If you're looking for an excuse not to paint, then the weather might just provide it. It's common sense that you shouldn't paint outside in the rain, but did you know that if the temperature is too high or low, it can cause the paint not to bind together properly, which can lead to cracking and peeling? The maximum and minimum recommended temperatures for exterior paint varies depending on the specific brand and whether you use oil or latex, but a general rule of thumb is that oil-based paint can be applied when the temperatures are between 40 and 90 degrees Fahrenheit and latex between 50 and 85 degrees Fahrenheit. The best drying will occur when the relative humidity is between 40 and 70%. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
Your own personal box office awaits you at TicketsAlways.com, across the street from historic Wrigley Field. Up the stairs to a stairway to heaven. The best seats at fair prices at Box Office Tickets at TicketsAlways.com. Professional, user-friendly website at TicketsAlways.com. This truly could be the year for your Chicago Cubs. Have a great seat to perhaps watch baseball history unfold on the north side. A ticket agency on your side. Box Office Tickets, TicketsAlways.com.
That's the jam.
All righty, everybody, welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Myline USA Radio Network. Jeff Rich with me, as he is each and every week. You can get involved, 1-800-878-7529. Those are the digits. Hit us up on Twitter, at by Jeff Rich, at Dorf on Sports. Be sure to check us out here at Sports Byline USA. In case you missed it, we were talking to Shane Koenig, our NFL insider. And we're going to continue talking to Shane about what's going on in the NFL. And let's keep it moving. Big game, obviously. Green Bay Packers, Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott, you know, has been very impressive. I'm not going to take anything away from the kid. But everybody, we all know how we are. We like jump on things too quickly and we get caught speeding a lot. Would you say that this is maybe the first real test for Dak going up against a Green Bay Packer defense that is very good on both the run and the pass? And then obviously him being a young guy and Ezekiel being a young guy, could you see that this might be a tough one for the Dallas Cowboys and Dak moving forward? Or, and is this maybe a day where people can kind of get a real blueprint on who Dak Prescott is and maybe, just maybe, some of that success that he's had may stop happening? And with that being said, Tony Romo, I believe, could be available. And as they've said, he won't lose his job and he gets it back. If Dak is able to beat the Green Bay Packers, where do you sit as far as Tony Romo coming back? But ultimately, how are you feeling about Dak and how he's started out his NFL career?
I think that as a fan of the NFL, and also my alma mater is Missouri and Mississippi State last year being really competitive and Dak Prescott being the leader of that team, and now seeing Mississippi State with only two wins, it really showed how Dak Prescott was valued. You know, he was a leader of a team, and although they, like I said last week, you know, you lose a couple players, it's not just all Dak, but I mean, he was a leader of Mississippi State, and it shows how valuable he is and how bad that team is now and struggling to even get their offense off the ground. There's always two ways of looking at young players, in my opinion. The first one is they just don't know any better, so they just go out and do what they're told and what the offense dictates and, you know, just do their job. The other one is that they become overwhelmed by the moment because they haven't seen that before. I think Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott playing in the conferences they played in, the big games they're playing, especially Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, playing in championship games throughout his career from his freshman year all the way through, I think that they will respond by going with the game plan. You know, Jason Garrett, a lot of people question whether he's a great head coach, but they can't question whether or not he has a strong offensive mind and he'll have a strong offensive game plan to play to his strength as a team. I think Dez Bryant not being available has helped Dak Prescott to really play within the offense. Whoever's open gets the ball versus, oh, I better just throw it to Dez to make him happy. I think that's been helpful to him in his development. So I think that they will have a good game. I don't know whether they'll win. I think that Green Bay is a very good team, and their quarterback makes such a big difference that I think that Green Bay will come away with the win, but I think that he will perform at the level that we expect him to have played all the way through the season. Tony Romo, you know, here's where I stand. Jeff needs to talk to his representatives in Cleveland. They need to start making some calls in Miami and see what they want to trade for Tony Romo now. Because if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm going to let Tony Romo play one game. And if he plays really, really well, I want to trade him. Because he's just going to get hurt again.
and he's at his peak of performance after one good game. He's going to be at an all-time high. Oh, my gosh, Tony Romo, he's back. He's healthy. Playing great. Good, trade him.
Unfortunately, the dynamic of the NFL, you know, in-season trades, usually when you're acquiring a veteran, it's not going to be an 0-5 or an 0-6 football team. You know, they say that you're not supposed to lose your job to injury, but what injury does is it creates opportunity for your challengers to perhaps take your job based on merit. And I think that we might see that. I don't know how long the leash is. I imagine with Jason Garrett and Jerry Jones being involved in the decision-making, that the leash is going to be very long on Romo, and if he struggles, that's going to be very frustrating for Dallas Cowboys fans.
I think if he struggles with the promise of a season, you know, they've heard, Jerry Jones has heard over the past 5, 6 years, 7 years, however long it's been, hey, you know, you guys aren't very good, you're drafting the wrong people. Jerry Jones started as a general manager listening to some people that knew how to build a team, and they've got probably the best offensive line in the NFL. Their defense has been surprisingly good. I think their defensive line is going to be one of their struggles. I think that's where you're going to see them throughout the whole season and maybe even into the playoffs. I think that's where you're going to see them struggle, is that they're not going to get pressure on the really good quarterbacks and they will lose those games. And that's why I think Green Bay will win this week, is that I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is going to be agitated or frustrated during that game. But the next step is make the playoffs, win a game. If the trajectory of this season with Dak Prescott is we're on our way to that, and then all of a sudden Tony Romo comes in and they lose a couple games and that trajectory isn't quite as clear, I think it would be very difficult for Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett to say, hey, we're staying with this guy that over the past two seasons hasn't been healthy, throughout his career has struggled to be healthy, but when he's good, he's good. But we've got this young guy who's strong, able-bodied, and it wins games for us, to not go back to him.
Going to be interesting to see how it all develops with the Dallas Cowboys moving forward. Tony Romo and Dak Prescott, obviously he would be the heir apparent if you ask me. The guy has been impressive, but very young, very early in his career, and I think it's important not to get caught speeding here and just take it in stride. He's had a lot of success. We'll see how he does against that Green Bay Packer defense. Hey, I want to shift gears and keep going along this kind of theory of success and not success. And the Bengals play the Patriots, and Tom Brady comes back. He does what he does and maybe a little bit better than we probably would have expected the first week out of the gate. But with that being said, Andy Dalton has been pretty bad. The Cincinnati Bengals, in general, have been pretty bad. So if you ask me, I think there's a big game for the Patriots to keep things rolling, first of all, but for Cincinnati to finally figure out who they are and where they're going. I mean, are you as shocked as I am that Cincinnati has looked as bad as they've looked this year so far?
You know, when you look at their season and looked at the past five, six seasons, at least the last three or four, with Andy Dalton, current defense, how deep they are, how strong they've been, and especially during the regular season. Obviously, their playoff struggles are well chronicled. It is surprising, but then you look at their off season, and they were always so deep and always had really good drafts to build for those players to be able to step up quickly. And they let a lot of players go. They let a lot of veterans go, and they got a lot thinner on their depth. And now, you know, Jeremy Hill's injured, so now you got Giovanni Bernard being the lead back. Not that Jeremy Hill was great last year, but they always did have that two-back system. And Andy Dalton, it's A.J. Green or nothing. You know, you let Marvin Jones walked, and he's been doing great in Detroit. And Mohamed Sanu is gone, and he's in Atlanta doing great. So they lost a lot of players. So when you look at that, it surprised me because they've always had good depth, and now that depth is not there, and the players that are stepping in just aren't quite the quality that they had previously on the roster. So when you kind of look at it a little bit more, it shouldn't be that surprising that they're bad. It's just surprising that they're as bad as they are.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, let me ask you something. You know, the Durst's been talking about getting caught speeding. Carson Wentz and the Eagles get off to a great start. They destroy the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then last week they lay an egg against the Detroit Lions. Did we have some fool's gold going on with Wentz and the Eagles, or did they just slip up against Detroit?
You know, I think that a lot of people, when you look at the Eagles and you have a rookie quarterback, just like any time you have a rookie quarterback, you want to try to make the rookie beat you, and they were doing that. He was doing that. He was performing extremely well, making some great throws, and really showing people why he was the right pick for the Eagles and why it was the right pick for them to have three quarterbacks on their roster and to trade away Sam Bradford and to trust the rookie. But along those lines, you want to have balance. And, you know, Ryan Matthews is injured and Darren Sproles is your lead back. And you have another rookie that isn't probably ready to step in quite yet in the running back position. So now it's not only that a team is, like, forcing them to go and have Carson Wentz beat them, but their defense can just totally focus on Carson Wentz and really make him beat them. And I think that's where they struggled, where they're going to be struggling, is that balance really isn't there and allowing them to even present another option that is a weapon or a threat to the opposing defense. And I think that if they can't find that solution with their current running backs, I think they're going to have a little struggle here until they can.
Hey, Shane, let me ask you this. Three things that are kind of like sticking out to me as being really, really shocking. First one is the Panthers at 1-4. Obviously, Cam takes a lot of unnecessary hits, and they're struggling. And this is a team that was in the Super Bowl, so I'm a little bit surprised about that. Number two, the Oakland Raiders at 4-1 and winning close football games and looking confident and poised and something that none of us are accustomed to seeing out of the Oakland Raiders, let's be honest. And then the last thing is the Dirty Birds, the Atlanta Falcons, and their 4-1 surprising start and how they manhandled the Carolina Panthers. To me, those are like the three most bizarre things going on in the NFL right now. And then obviously the Cowboys, we've already mentioned them. So those three teams, where are they? What's going on with them?
I think that especially here in Denver, I'm going to address the last one first, because we just in Denver we saw the Atlanta, you know, beat the Denver Broncos, and everybody talked about, you know, Kyle Shanahan putting together a great offensive plan, and this is the second year that Shanahan and Matt Ryan have been together, and they seem to have some really good chemistry now, and Matt Ryan has figured out where that offense is. But let's not forget that they also added, like we just talked about, Mohamed Sanu. They're running an offense that provides more than one threat. Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman are both healthy now. They ran a jumbo set with two tight ends, two running backs, one wide receiver against the Broncos, and just threw it to Tevin Coleman for a franchise record in receiving yards. Then the Broncos had to go and face another team that could put a game plan against the Chargers that did the exact same thing and beat them again. I think that keep in mind the Falcons last year were 5-0, and they didn't make the playoffs. So we don't want to speed too much on that either, but they seem to have a better grasp of what Shanahan is trying to do offensively. Other than the Broncos game, their defense is not getting pressure on opposing quarterbacks, and I think that could be their weakness. Carolina, it seems to me when you looked at their team last year, they had a lot, like if you look at their strategy when it comes to drafts and who they re-signed and who they spent money on, and they had a bunch of cap issues. Last year seemed like it was a flash, like all of the things came together. Cam Newton had an MVP season. Their defensive line played great. Josh Norman was amazing. Even with injured wide receivers, they're playing well. Ted Ginn Jr. has a great season. And it seems like those things are not there anymore. It's like those mistakes have started to come to fruition where your starting defensive backfield, you had to release your starting corner, and you got rid of Josh Norman, and Kaywon Short isn't getting to the quarterback like he used to, that their defensive front isn't getting to the quarterback so that they could force the quarterback to make bad plays and to exploit that on the back end with the corners. It's just not there, and I don't know what that involves or why that is. Maybe people were overconfident after not making it, getting as far as they did. They kind of took that for granted and they're just not playing up to their potential, or if last year was just everybody playing to their best and that's not there anymore for them. I just get that feeling with that team.
Who knows, man? It's interesting. Look, as every sport, it's a marathon, not a sprint, and we'll just have to see how it all unfolds the rest of the way. But they're definitely struggling, and I can hear that music, so it means we got to get the heck out of Dodge. Shane, really appreciate you taking time out. Looking forward to talking to you next week, brother.
All right, thanks, guys.
Shane Koenig, our NFL insider, joining us, doing what he does for us, breaking it down. Jeff Rich, Dorfman, one final segment. Keep it close. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Artis Payne up to the goal line. Touchdown, Carolina. There's a touchdown for Carolina. Cameron Artis Payne turned the corner and got to the pylon. Open receiver and a touchdown for Mike Evans.
That's what Jameis Winston is paid to do.
Winston out of the gun. Zings one, caught, and it's good for the 2 points for Adam Humphries. For the win from 38 yards, Aguayo right down the middle.
What a win for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Hey there, travelers. You going somewhere? Need a hotel? Then call Hotel Wiz anytime, day or night, for rates too low to publish. You can save up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe and get our best price guarantee with no booking or cancellation fees ever. We've got some of the lowest hotel prices you'll find in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and a lot more. Don't waste your time surfing for deals. Make a free call right now and find deals too low to publish. Save up to 75% right now with no cancellation fees. And to make it even easier on you, we're here 24/7 to help. So call right now. Bookmark us in your cell phone. Whatever you need to do, just pick up the phone and call this number for hotel deals that'll knock your socks off.
800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Final segment of this hour here on Dorf on Sports and the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Got to thank Shane Koenig. Got to thank John Poulter. And got to thank Seth Marenbloom for all joining us today. Jeff, you're up, brother. It's parting shot time.
sometimes something so inevitable, the final result will be, but we can't get there without the bickering. And that was the case with Florida LSU and the canceled game that's rescheduled for November 19th. The SEC had to step in and say, you're not eligible for the SEC championship if you don't play that game. And that game is being played.
Yep. It all got done. I think we had it all pretty well figured out, too, to be honest with you. But my parting shot is Packer time, baby. Let's get it done. Badgers go down. Regain that pride there in Wisconsin for us Packers. Get it done against the Dallas Cowboys. For Jeff, for Scott, for everybody, I'm the Dorfman saying peace. We're out of here. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Guess what?
What?
This, ladies and gentlemen, concludes our show.
Maybe do it again sometime.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Dorf on Sports with Andy Dorf. Till next time.